You're live now. Yes, well, you just did.
Okay. Hi, guys. Welcome to Geek Bombs Geek Unleashed. We're here celebrating International Women's Day with the beautiful host of IGN's Daily Fix, Naomi Kyle, also with Geek Bombshells, Taz and Lee, along with myself, Ziana. Maud, unfortunately, our chief bomb, is running a little bit late in traffic, so we're just going to wing it for now until she can get in and run things a little bit smoother. But to start off, I'm going to hit everyone with the quickfire questions as she does. And first up, it's going to be eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a chicken, mice, I think it'll be Lee.
Oh,
I think you okay. can go first, Lee. Okay. So how quickfire questions work, I'm just going to ask you some questions. You have to answer straight away. Don't even think about it. Just go with it.
All right.
All right. What is your favorite Disney princess?
Ariel.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Next, what about your favorite prince?
The generic kind.
Not even Prince Eric or somebody like that? Oh, no. Prince Eric was always...
Any prince. I'll take
okay,
it.
Okay, what about your most anticipated game of the year?
Watch Dogs.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Oh, that's the best one. Okay, all right, Taz, you're up next. All right, I think this will be an interesting question. What color are your underpants?
I've had this so many times. Are you joking? What gives me this one, like, every week?
They're like...
They're yellow. They're yellow.
It's a theme. Exciting. It's a theme.
Yellow?
Apparently okay. It is.
And have you ever had a crush on a video game character? If so, who?
Oh, my God. Every Assassin's Creed character that they've had, probably. Except Connor. Because Connor was disgusting.
No, Connor. Connor's not real. No, Altair was really, the best one.
He was so annoying. Yeah, they were all great, except Connor.
That's funny because you're like the Assassin's Creed aficionado out of Geek Bomb as well. So you're like legitimate to say that. And okay, last one. This is another interesting one that I just came up with just now in my head. Are you a folder or a scruncher?
Folder.
Oh, weird.
What?
Why? Do that.
I never... What? Ain't
Why,
nobody
what
got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. All right, Lee. All right. Now you can go. All right, I'll give you some good ones. What have I got here? Okay. What's your favorite shot of alcohol?
My favorite shot is tequila, always.
With lime or lemon? Just curious.
Lemon.
Or with nothing.
Salt. Yeah, no salt. Have lemon.
Straight.
With salt.
Just get it down there.
Just from the bottle.
Nice, cheap.
Like a pirate.
You need it if it's cheap alcohol. You need to have the lime or lemon, or it's not going to work. Okay. What was the last game that you played?
Final Fantasy 13 Lightning Returns.
Ooh.
Yeah. Was it any good? I haven't played that yet. I saw it at EBS, though.
It was okay. I was a bit disappointed, but, yeah. It's Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah?
I like Final Fantasy, so...
Oh, fair enough. Okay, and if you could dye your hair any color, what would it be?
Ooh. Any probably color green.
With
probably
no
green again. Because I dyed it green.
Oh, yeah?
I dyed it green for my green. Holidays, and it was great. I loved it.
Nice.
Like acid green, like forest green, or like a turquoise? I like turquoise. I think that looks really nice.
No, kind of like a sort of grey, sludgy swamp green.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've never seen these pictures. You need to send these to me. Now, we've just got a mention on Facebook, on Twitter, from Aaron, who wants to know if we can post you to him, Naomi. Will that be possible?
Hey,
he'd like to receive you in the post. I think that's a no.
Okay, well, yeah.
Receive
you mean,
a
like,
Naomi package.
Reply to him? Is that what he's asking?
Well, I think he just is wondering if it's possible for us to package you up and send you to him in the mail.
Oh, in the mail. Well, that's definitely a
in
no.
In the mail.
Maybe
yeah,
an action figure.
Yeah, didn't think so.
Yeah, do you have action figure?
Yeah.
So, hello, awesome. Everyone.
Oh, Maud!
Maud!
Happy birthday, Maud.
Thank you so
Happy
much.
Happy birthday, Maud.
What an honor to have me on your show on your birthday. Happy birthday, lady.
To celebrate.
Yeah? Nice.
I've got beer to celebrate.
Everyone's drinking today.
Except I received a bottle of wine and I still haven't opened it, but the plan is to play some Dota later and get really drunk, so I will be celebrating your birthday all out, Maud.
Mate, I don't stop for anything, but mate. I am going to open this bottle while we all chat. So fill me in. Sorry, guys, I was just in the car. Everyone else, before we were live, caught me in traffic and they heard every expletive I could have thought of while I was late because some guy decided to be an hour and 30 minutes late for an interview about pizza. Ha ha!
Pizza. Right?
The guy, everyone saw the Oscars, right? That was on last Sunday.
Oscars, mm-hmm. What's that?
Exactly. So, Ellen decided to order pizza for all the celebrities and they ordered it through this guy who just thought he was delivering pizza, you know, nothing sus.
Normally, yeah.
And it turns out that he was delivering it to all the stars and now he's like some sort of celebrity that thinks that he doesn't have to be on time. Oh, it's amazing. So I was doing that.
Excuse me, don't you know who he is?
Well, I do now.
You know.
And
I think this is the best part of the stream is going to be watching her struggle to get the cork out.
Did it. All right, guys. Let's do this. So
I did the quick fire questions, Maud.
Oh, you got a nick for me?
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, I've got some for you. Yeah, I do. All right. What was your favorite film from the Oscars?
My favorite film from the Oscars, I actually haven't even seen it yet, but I wanted it to be Gravity. I wanted Gravity to win.
No, Gravity Gravity looks good, but story-wise, I thought it was a bit eh.
I thought it was fantastic.
It's just all about really beautiful-looking movie, but
yeah,
in terms of like acting-wise, it's like it didn't have as much sort of substance there.
Yeah,
but like it did deserve every award that it got though for like cinematography, direction, and all that though.
Right.
Oh, yeah. If you could cosplay as anybody, Maud, who would it be?
Harley Quinn.
No money or constraint. Harley Quinn?
Yeah, but I mean, which Harley Quinn is the question? I know everyone's doing it at the moment, so I would kind of want to do... I'd almost dress up as Harlene. I think Quinzel. I'd go Harlene. Harlene Quinzel, yeah, when she's the psychiatrist still. But then, like, almost...
Did you hear she's... Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. We hear she's going to be an Arrow, apparently.
I did, I saw that.
There was something going on with that.
I saw that.
Which I think will be really sick.
This is like almost the first time we've ever seen Harley personified in a way, which would be great.
I can't think of her. Can't think of anything.
Live
so it'll be really
Harley.
Exciting.
Coming.
Yeah, right? Naomi,
yeah, but who plays? Who is going to play her?
We don't know.
City Alexa, or whatever her name is.
Really?
Mm. I have no idea who this girl is. I'm going to look Google her right now.
Isn't that girl from year 1 AD or whatever? That is that who I think it is?
No.
Cassidy.
And that's confirmed?
I think it might have been just a rumor on the internet.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, Cassidy, Alexa, it's going around the internet. Is she going to be Harley Quinn? But wait, I've got a final question for you before we go into this.
Maud, let's do it.
Can you do any funny impressions or funny things with your face? That
funny
we might like to see.
Face.
Everyone get ready to screenshot.
Oh, you funny.
Ready for this one? Hold on, we need to play a song almost. If there's a song that we've got on standby.
No.
Oh, surely we've got something. Okay, here we go.
What kind of song? I've got my Spotify open. Okay.
Perfect.
And then one eye goes in.
Yay!
Oh, and I put my tongue in my mouth. But that's another
story.
What? I'll do that after. I can put my whole fist in my mouth. But that's
well, we can have a look at that after the stream.
Maybe. I have some of my wine first. But International Women's Day, it's a big one today. It's happening in Australia and the Northern Hemisphere will eventually catch up. I think this is a really important thing because I've just noticed, and maybe I'm losing my mind here, but in any kind of particular industry, whether it's the entertainment industry or the gaming industry, if a woman's successful, then straight away they're put up against another successful woman and it's like, oh, well, you guys can't be friends. You have to compete against each other. And I think that the media does that, and I think that the community kind of does that, where, you know, there's only one victor. But then I've also noticed that people that are trying to be successful sees other successful women as a threat and try and destroy them or bring them down or compare themselves with them anyway. So I think Geek Bomb started to take a stand that females and women break all stereotypes and that we are a massive, strong unity, and together we can our geek on without fear of judgment or without, you know, being chastised or, you know, ridiculed for what we do. That's why we decided to do this entire month of March being Ladies Month and getting the girls on board. But Naomi, I wanted to direct the conversation over to you. What kind of stories have you found in the games industry or the entertainment industry, because you're an actor as well, in terms of this kind of stigma, you know, that women do compete and they do judge each other?
I mean, certain examples would be anything from women going online and, you know, talking with other women or, like, bringing them down for being too sexual or whatever it is. I see it every day, right? It's kind of like a thing that's in our society, and it's also part of, you know, the way that we're both females. We're both trying to, let's say it's like me and some other girl at work or something. We're both trying to make it in industry, and I think just the fact that we see someone else successful, I mean, there is that competitive nature that naturally comes out, but we just have to learn to work together, and I feel, especially working in an environment where there's so few women, we definitely get that, like, catty feeling, you know? I don't know what it is. It's maybe just something that's ingrained in us from, like, prehistoric ages, but I've come to learn that men are just really good at finding that camaraderie and that teamwork, and us women for some reason don't. And I don't know what that is. I don't know what festers that, and I can't really describe it, but it's something that I've experienced. Like, I'm definitely guilty of it, and I think that other women have experienced it multiple times, but it's kind of a mystery. I really don't, like, other examples would be just people, there's a lot of celebrities who have come out and, like, have become a voice, especially in the game industry, to, you know, speak out for women and to say, hey, like, we're here in this industry. Not only are we, the thing is, we're so few women also, and maybe that's where it comes from. Maybe it's because we're so few and we're seeing, you know, men being the successful ones and the CEOs of the companies. And we want that too. So, like, of course, our competitive nature then is just brought to this whole other level, right? Because there's only so many of us, and we have, like, I don't know. I think maybe the fact that we have broken into business and now we're the breadwinners in society, we feel the need to, like, overcompensate on that sort of thing. And yeah, I hope that makes sense.
I think in a way also it's like we can't win. We're either too skinny and that's a bad role model. We're fat and that's used against us. We're too chatty and we've got an annoying voice. We've got this, we've got that. You know, we're too nice. We're not nice enough. You know, we just can't really win at all. And I think that it's shrouded with a negativity where you like to pinpoint everything that's wrong with a person and not kind of celebrate what's amazing about a person. And if you don't like something, you don't have to. And that's the amazing thing. You really don't have to like everyone in this world. I certainly don't. But the biggest difference is you don't have to be a dick about it.
Exactly.
Since, like, the launch of the internet where everyone has the power of their speech you know, at their fingertips, it's like that's washed out the window, you know, and being a dick is so easy that everyone's
they're
kind
anonymous.
Of saying,
they don't have to take flack for it or anything. So, you know, they're not going to be punished by the people around them. They're by themselves in their computer rooms, you know, typing away, and they're anonymous. Yeah. I do think that it's true that a lot of this competitive nature might also stem from the fact that, you know, we're in a society of men, and, you know, we're very, like, look-wise, everything about us, you know, we want to be the prettiest girl or whatever it is. I think
to please the men?
Sorry?
Yeah.
Is it to please the men?
Well, I think just the fact that we value our good look, like, us women, we're so conscious about how we look. And it's something we like, you know, we like looking pretty and we like getting attention, I guess, but I think that men push that as well, as well, you know, women too. I think we try to to please everybody, and we want to always kind of look good doing it, but then it's like it gets to that whole other level when people are anonymous on the internet. They can go and look at a girl and just, you know, say the negative comments that they do, and that makes us, you know, competitive too. I get, like, it's really, it's difficult to pinpoint exactly what the reason is that we're like that, but it's definitely something in society.
Every time, you know, we post something out on the internet, we do kind of put it out there for comments to be said about it.
Yeah.
And not everything has to be or will be positive. What are some of the things that you've copped, and what are your coping mechanisms with kind of the onslaught of people who just want to be idiots?
I look at it from a really broad perspective. I mean, if someone's going to say, there's always going to be that one person who's looking to irk something in you, you know, like if it's, and there's so many people out there commenting that, you know, one of them's bound to hit that, you know, that nerve, and they're trying everything. Like, it could be, you know, they're trying multiple times to see what gets you irked, what gets you to respond to them. And so I look at it as just them trying to get my attention, and, you know, whether it's negative or positive, I think the best way to deal with it is not to respond. And then, you know, if you find that people are just always negative on a certain subject or whatever it is, you can speak out about it and become a better voice. And because we're in the public eye, I think we have that power.
I think some people may be a bit blindsided to what us women do cop on the internet. I mean, Anita Sarkeesian, she kind of, with the Women in Tropes videos, cop the most. Like, a video game app was made about her where you'd click and punch her and she would become more bruised and battered going on. And guys loved playing it because it would, you know, essentially shut her up in a way. Right. I kind of wanted to just go through the panel and just bring up a comment that's probably been the worst thing that you've read, just to get an idea of what the level is at and just how vulgar and basically fucked up this can be. Just to not name and shame particular people, because I've been attacked by 4chan and 9gag, but just to see how severe this is. Maddie, did you want to start with something that you've heard?
Like, about
something
me
that you've read? Yeah, about anyone, but a comment, like,
you know what, the most recent thing that I read, this thing, I don't know, it just really got to me. It was a picture of, I mean, I don't know if this is related at all, but it's just something that really got to me recently. But, you know, you all know who Jessica Negri is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The cosplayer. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
she's really.
I was casually looking through her brother's Instagram thing, because she'd linked to it, and I was like, oh, I'll have a look at his thing. And there's a picture of them being together, like, whatever. And some dude just posted, your sister needs a dick in her mouth. And I was like, dude.
Oh my god.
I was like, dude, you are so far out of line. You look like a freaking toddler's coloring book right now. Like, wow, that's the worst thing I've seen. I was so shocked. I was like, how do you think that that's okay? People say that, but the thing is, like you were saying earlier, Maud, like, that we're not good enough. Like,
we can't
Naomi, like, I'm a cosplayer, and people on my photos, they'll be like, oh, you're too skinny, or you need bigger boobs. But then they'll be like, oh, you need to be more curvy. No, you need to be thinner. No, you need to be taller, shorter, fatter, whatever, because there's no set ideal. And it's like, if you don't conform to some weird preset in these people's minds, then you're not validated as a person. And it's like, almost as this also this weird thing that pretty girls can't be legitimate geeks. And I really have an issue with that.
Or
I'm
have,
like,
a personality.
I don't understand how your looks have anything to do with how you like video games or anything like that. Yeah. I don't know. That I have an issue with. People don't focus on how good you are at a game or whether you like games. It's always how big are your tits, like how good you look on camera,
yeah,
that kind of stuff. It's like not related at all. I don't know. I hate that.
I mean,
something
I don't want to speak on behalf of everyone,
much
but
inside.
Everyone on this panel has great tits. I'm just saying. Everyone on this panel. You've got amazing cans. I'm personally a fan.
Is this like a prerequisite for who you pick? Dude, like, they have to have good tits to be in Geek Mom? Is that the thing? It's not about being a girl, just good tits.
Good tits.
Wait, Taz, you didn't send more.
Does I have to let everybody in on a secret?
Yeah, she asked me for a picture. That was the one thing I'd send it before I was allowed to join Geek Bomb.
Okay.
This is all lies. These are all
we
lies.
We all have, yeah, that's how we audition. Tit pick.
Yeah.
When we applied.
Yeah.
Cool, yeah. I sound like the biggest pervert. Well, I was trying to set up like an idea.
I motivated you last night, okay?
Oh yeah, you did too.
You're the pervert.
You know what? You know the worst part, maybe the best part about that? First time I'd been motorboated that week. Moving on, though, really quickly. Because, you know, overtly sexualizing women is a bad thing because we are all people, is what I was trying to say.
Yeah,
people.
Exactly.
It just came out as tits. Yes. But yeah, I just think that, you know, the more the internet opens up in the way that we're going, the more technology kind of advances, the more this is going to be a really hard thing to get on top of unless we all kind of take a stand with it. My favorite thing is that no one will ever say it publicly because, you know, people can counteract that. And then you have the white knights that are defending the woman. And then you've got other people, you know, having everyone else's back. And then that's just a fight on its own. But the inbox attack is my personal favorite. Where you're like, oh, a message. Oh, you want to rape all of my family. And you want me to be raped so hard that my ovaries die and I can never have kids and that I become a retard. I'm like, wow.
Did someone actually send you that?
Yeah. I was like, you've just ticked every offensive box that there is to tick. So that was fun. But, I mean, they wanted to do it privately, which I kind of respected. I'm like, oh, thanks for not publicly blasting me. I guess I can appreciate that. but it's, I guess the advice I want to offer for this is a lot of people think that they want to create a lot of noise around it. Oh, my God, I can't believe this person said this about me. Look at what they said. Look and weigh in on that. And let's all digest this, what they read. The best thing to do is simply just block it, delete it, and just let it go.
Yeah. Like,
There's a reason why Let It Go won the Oscar for Best Song, because honestly, it comes up and is easy to use in so many situations, you know? Maud's motivating me again, just let it go, let it go. You know, if someone's written a comment, someone doesn't like you, fuck it, let it go. And I think it's like if you do respect someone, tell them. If you do commend someone for something, tell them. If you like something about a person, tell them. You know, instead of being like, oh, it sucks that they looked really good today. Does it? Does it really suck that someone looks great today?
Yeah.
No, it's an amazing thing. Tell them. Exactly. Hey, Naomi, your hair looks really pretty a lot, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love all you guys' hairstyles. You guys are all super cute.
Sure.
Enough about that. It's a little bit of a serious, heavy topic because it is International Women's Day, but we've done that. Naomi, let's talk about you. A lot of people asking questions. We've got heaps coming in. I guess the first thing we want to say is, how did it all begin? Have we gone over that?
Oh! No, well, it all began, it was a weird chain reaction, I call it, but it's like I started out modeling in Montreal and I was studying film at the same time. In college, and I approached my agent and I was like, hey, I want to do like on-camera stuff. Like, do you guys ever get castings for commercials or things like that? And it was also, you know, wanting to explore the actor and the on-camera side of filmmaking. And so the first audition he calls me up for, and it's like the biggest audition I've ever gotten in my entire life, obviously until I started working for IGN, but it was like a one-year gig for a gaming company, Gameloft, who's a sister company to Ubisoft. They make little like mobile games and iPhone games.
Yes, I know them.
And they're, sorry?
Oh, I know them, yes.
Yeah, so they're like based out, like they have a pretty big headquarters in Montreal, and I got to go work for them for a year, and I was working on their video podcast. I was like working with the video team there and hosting, which, you know, this really cool Gameloft themed show every month. It was like once a month. And did that for about a year and a half. And IGN, I guess, caught on that I was doing this stuff and they were looking for a replacement for The Fix because Jessica Chobot was leaving. And I had already, like, known of IGN and I was pretty much, like, very much aware of The Daily Fix and, like, how cool IGN was. And I was, like, kind of looking to see if I could do some more of that stuff. And it was so funny that I got like this Facebook message from the video guy who was running the video team at the time. And I'm like, is this a joke? Because people pretty much knew I was, like, gunning for either a job at IGN or, like, G4, like, a hosting position, because I really had fallen in love at that point with the job. And yeah, I was like, I wasn't even sure how to reply back, but I got back to him. We got into the whole process of, like, getting me to audition. And next thing you know, I got the part. I moved to San Francisco.
I love San Fran.
Wow.
I love it. It's great here. Yeah. It's I love going down to LA every now and then, but San Francisco is definitely my home, and it's just a cool city. Like everything tech is here, and everyone who loves kind of the nerdy things that we love are all here. So
you host the Daily Fix. What's that like? What's an average day like for you, and how much preparation goes into the pieces every single day? How many hours are you working? What kind of things do you have to do on the side?
Right. So it's a 9-to-5 job. I wake up. I sometimes do my makeup before coming to work. Otherwise, I'll do it at work.
Hold on. So just to quote you, you wake up. Grab a dozen.
I wake up. I put on my makeup. Yes, that's an average day for me. No, I mean I get to work. Then you know there's already somebody writing up like a draft script. I'm looking it over. I'm making changes. We're setting up the studio. That's around like 10 o'clock. Then once I'm all ready and like my hair's done and stuff, because this takes work. It's not very. It's not. It doesn't come like this naturally. So I had to. I have to go in. I have to. Let's see. We read over the script. Run it over a few times. If there's like typos or anything, we have to fix those. And you know, our producer and then the guy who runs the teleprompter are pretty much the only people there besides me. I'm alone in the studio at that point. They close the door. They start rolling. I read through the script, pretty much like one or two takes, and we're good. Then they cut it up. They start working on the graphics and everything. I'm meanwhile tweeting out a question because I, you know, like fan interaction. And I think that's something that we love doing for the Fix. It's just a really fun aspect of it. And send out the Twitter question, people get back to me, I gather up all the responses, so it's all me doing that stuff. Send it over to our guy editing the show. The rest of the day, after that's pretty much been taken care of, I am just, you know, writing up blogs, I'm emailing, I'm looking for other opportunities to bring to IGN, whether it's like hosting somewhere else or hosting a specific show or coming up with show ideas. That's pretty much it. There's a lot of back and forth too with me and my manager, because I'm also like trying to get into the LA entertainment scene by doing like guest appearances. So like if ever an audition comes in, sometimes I'll like, you know, leave work a little early to like go put myself on tape and do that stuff. But besides that, it's a lot of fan interaction and just keeping up like, you know, the Fix brand, like trying to, you know, engage the fans and make it a fun show as much as possible. So always tweaking and working on that.
Well, you definitely have diehard fans, I've noticed. You're nearly at 100,000 followers on Twitter,
I know,
which is amazing. What are you going to do when you hit six figures?
Oh, we are planning something. We're planning a little something special for the fans. This will be integrated in the Daily Fix, but I also kind of want to do, which has been like one of my downfalls, is like I haven't really started my YouTube channel and made it really a good consistent thing. I've done little things here and there and I've posted a few vlogs, but besides that it's pretty much dead right now, which I'm really ashamed about. But I will get to doing some vlogs, and I want to do maybe a special one, just a really specific to the YouTube audience and then to the Twitter audience, not necessarily from the Fix or anything. And post that, and hopefully that'll be a good amount. What ideally, like if I had a lot of money, I would probably print out 100,000 t-shirts and send it to everyone. But that would require a lot of work, and I'm right now I'm like on the brink of being broke, so I might have to wait on that.
I love that t-shirts. Everyone loves t-shirts.
T-shirts.
Right?
Everyone loves
it. Especially free t-shirts.
Especially free t-shirts.
Yes.
Don't say that. We're about to open up our store soon for Geek Bomb.
They're not free, but they are worth it.
Shirts are even better when you pay for them, right? We've got some pretty valid questions that I want to run by you. At MNZ Hussein, who's on Twitter, said, what has been the most difficult obstacle that you've faced getting where you are today?
Oh, that's a hard one. I think just the struggle of learning, because when I got hired here at IGN, I was pretty green, is what they call it, and I, you know, at the day-to-day, like, it took me a long time to get to where I am now, to, like, finally have a good understanding how this industry works, a good understanding of, like, my on-camera presence, and how to pretty much, you know, be a valid talent. So that struggle was, like, a long, slow, uphill battle. It was a long process, and I think that was the biggest challenge, but now I'm pretty good. I think I got it. You know, there's always challenges every day. I don't think there's any particular thing that I could point to at this moment, though. Yeah.
He's gone on to ask as well, and you kind of tapped into this with related break the entertainment industry more so in that way and balance the two. What other things would you like to do outside the gaming industry? What would be some of the, like, dream jobs to land?
Definitely a guest star role or on some show, whether it's, I don't know, I would love Castle, like, if I could be on
Castle. Oh my god!
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Something like that, it could just be, like, a quick, you know, I'm one of the people they interview at the start of the show and you never see them again. That would be great. But, yeah, I keep, another one thing that I've sort of been working on has been, like, my own production company, and it's, I mean, it's a slow-moving thing because I still have, like, a full-time job here and I'm doing a bunch of things at once. But, you know, owning a production company would be cool down the road. But right now, it's just small little things that I keep adding to my resume. And you know, I just, whatever I've kind of come up upon and I think is something that might help and might be fun to do, then I'm usually all for it. And that could be anything. It could be, you know, not a guest star role, but it could be, like, hosting a live event, or, you know, doing a fun video at Comic-Con, or, you know, being on some person's YouTube channel, whether it's, like, a show with iJustine or whatever it is. It could be anything, but I'm always up for new stuff.
Because you are in the games industry, I want to know from you, what are the best things about it, whether it's a perk or whether it's recognition, and what is the shittest thing? Like, what's the worst thing about being in the games industry?
There's a bunch of fun stuff, I gotta say. It's hard to pick something. It's hard to see the bad side of working for games, which is, like, something that people do for fun. So everything that surrounds that is pretty much an exciting adventure every time. I think with the games industry where it is right now, we're doing so much great stuff. Games are, like, at their peak. I think one of the perks of my job in particular is I get to, you know, there's such an audience now with, you know, the internet being what it is, that I can, you know, have and grow my audience. I have, this job was my start in the industry. The fact that, you know, I get to go to conventions, I get to go to different shows, and E3, like, I never thought in my life I would ever get to go. And I get to go every year, and I host a live show, like, stuff like that. That is, like, crazy that I've even gotten to this point. I love, you know, we get some free things here and there. We get, like, little cool toys that we get to see every day. It's like living in a playground, really. So there's a lot of fun stuff and perks to working for IGN. And we get to know, like, news before it even gets out. So there's nothing cooler than that, trust me. If you're like, a gamer, and all, like, that's our audience, right? All our fans are on the site, and they're looking for the latest, newest news or piece of information that they can, like, just take in. And I get to know it beforehand, which is, like, that's a pretty cool perk. And I'm trying to think what the negative stuff is now. I think it might be an overall thing with the fact that we're a games industry, but, you know, specifically for IGN, who is trying to, you know, become a media, well, we are a media outlet and we are a powerhouse at that point, but I think when we're trying to be more on the entertainment side of things and, you know, become the next ESPN or whatever it is, we are struggling a little bit, and maybe it's because we're too set in that business mindset. You know, I think we need to, like, kind of break loose of that those set ways a little bit. And once that happens, I think we're pretty much golden. Yeah.
All right. Do you kind of feel a little bit limited being in San Fran? Like, what's it like there?
I think there was this one tweet that I put out one time about how it's really a struggle, especially when auditions come in and I can't, like, if they come in for that day and I'm like, well, I can drive down, but that'll take 8 hours, so I won't make the audition, or I could fly down, but that'll cost me like $500. You know, there's that struggle, I guess, with not being part of, you know, the central, like, LA is pretty much, when you think about the entertainment industry, it's global, right? It's mm-hmm. That's where all the big movies come from, whether it's LA or New York, it's like one of the two. And there is that struggle, but for the games industry, we're in prime location. Like, San Francisco has a lot of developers, and we're all about, we're developing new things, new companies every day. So, I mean, San Francisco's it's the tech industry. It's, you know, it's where it all happens.
I'm going to be up for GDC, by the way. I forgot.
I know. Yay.
Yes. So, you're going to have drinks. Yes. Swing by the International Mobile Gaming Awards, because I'm hosting those. Yay.
Check it out.
Yes. I want to know what you're like when you're drunk, because apparently
we hung out. You mean you don't know yet?
Hold on. The whole of Comic-Con, let's be honest, I was pretty shit-faced. Well, no, I was on my best behavior.
So you did see me drunk, but you don't remember because you were too drunk.
No, you just don't seem drunk if you're drunk. You know that there's people
really?
That are like, I'm really drunk right now. And you're like, yeah, right, I'm really drunk right now. Like, there's a difference. Like, you're just like a really clean drunk. Or you know your limits, which is
good. Or you're just really used to being drunk and really good at faking it.
Oh, you're like a supreme alcoholic. Well done. No, but
well,
I'm
we all
kind
of are. Let's be honest. We all like a little drink here and there.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's only midday in Australia.
What?
Look, that's... I mean, if you go to Australia... Have you ever been to Australia?
I have never been to Australia.
No.
This is it right here. No.
What?
Like, on the panel.
This one.
This is it.
Oh, sorry.
That's Australia for you in a nutshell.
Right. Is it now?
Pretty much, yeah. Beer.
Midday drinking.
Mm-hmm. I'm down for that.
And we're in the future. Well, I can't say that because I'm in LA. But
you're not in the future. We're in the future.
I'm in the past again.
Yeah.
We play a little game called Power at Geek Bomb, which stands for P-W-R. Stands for playing, watching, and reading. So, right now, what are you playing games-wise? What are you watching TV or movies-wise? And what are you reading book-wise?
All right, so I am watching... Okay, well, I'm playing Thief right now, and I'm playing Link Between Worlds on my 3DS.
Oh, same.
I know.
I love it.
I'm not really that far into Link Between Worlds, I have to be honest. Really enjoying those two games.
Bit of a Zelda fan here. Just right. Oh, yeah.
That's super awesome. So then I have also been watching a lot of, well, there's Castle. There's a lot of shows I've been watching. There's Castle, there's New Girl. Recently I've been watching Helix. I've been watching Being Human religiously because it's their last season. Mm. And
is it?
Is it? Yeah, they're fine. Like, they pretty much are done after this. It got canceled, but they like kind of knew that it was coming, so they have a final ending to the season. Nice. So it won't be like us being left, you know, in the dark trying to figure out all the answers to all the questions that we have. But so that, and for reading, and by the way, I haven't been like to the theater in a long time. I guess the last movie I saw was the Lego Movie, which was awesome. It was a great movie. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Don't do this. In Australia, it's not out until April, so we're like 2 months behind.
It's not out until April?
Yeah, so everyone here is like, we really want to see it, and it keeps getting spoiled. Last week, they sang the songs from it. I know, Australia's always behind. But being in the future, it's really frustrating that we're like 2 months behind.
Oh my gosh. That really sucks. And the internet, I mean, you can't even look at it at that point. You're just like,
Just stay away. I'm just off Twitter. Just don't go on Twitter.
Don't even go on Twitter.
Which sucks because she's kind of like our technical operations manager. Yeah. So she does all the social media stuff and all the tech stuff.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, the Lego movie, you're going to experience it a lot differently. People can spoil whatever they want, but, I mean, once you experience it, you'll see that it's still fun. It won't lose any of its charm, I'm sure.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, hashtag PWR, what are you doing? If you're watching this stream right now, tweet us at Geek Bombshells or comment below. PWR, what are you playing? What are you watching? What are you reading? We'll put ours up as well. But we've got Link in the Past in common because I'm playing it and I'm a big fan. And I wish I'd started a lot earlier, but I was bloody well getting all the gym badges, wasn't I? No. I just wanted to be a Pokemon master. I just wanted to be the very best, you know? Like no one ever was. To catch them was my real test. Train them was my cause. I would have travelled across the world.
You're not going to stop by here.
You're such an idiot.
That's a Pokemon war. Dun, 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 Pokemon.
This is not the first time they've sung it.
Yeah. Pokemon, gotta catch them, it's your enemy. Catch them all. It's my destiny.
No, it's my destiny.
Alright.
So what I watched... thing, you and I were perfectly in time just then, Maud, by the way, so we nailed it. In my headphones, you nailed it.
That was like a chalk, fingers running down a chalkboard, but, you know, whatever. But you can't fight the geek coming out of me, I guess you could say.
No.
So, Naomi, any advice? A lot of people want to do this, especially more and more women are kind of coming out of the geek closet, as they say, which is something that I did only about 5 years ago. And they want to be like, well, how do I become new and how do I do it instantly? Because people don't want to wait in their due time. They just want it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking hosting and specifically, or just being in the games industry, is it more of an open question or how would you?
Yeah, I think they're a little bit different. I think hosting, because obviously you can host a number of different particular topics. How do you get in front of the camera first and foremost? Whether there's a degree that people could be studying, and the games industry, like how do you become a standout in that sense?
Right. So I do think that schooling is great. I have nothing wrong with schooling, but I mean, I didn't go to university. I don't know how the systems are in America, but I know that like college is pretty much just an extension of high school, and I graduated that and I did great. I think if there's anything that you want to do schooling-wise, go for it. Whether it's in broadcasting or writing, if you want to become an editor for games and review games, that's a good way to go. I think there's always more that you can do, and the one thing that I do encourage is get yourself a camera, get yourself a setup at your house, and go on YouTube and like talk about what you're passionate about and do it on a regular, consistent basis. Also with writing, like go on blogs, go on... one of the things that a lot of people look for in this industry is people who are really active in the community. So if you know like IGN or any other games website, go in their
Geek
forums.
Bomb.
Yeah, Geek Bomb, exactly. Go in their forums, you know, interact with their personalities. Don't do it to a level that's, you know, a little extreme and sometimes a little worrisome. Just be, you know, be proactive whenever you want to say something, whenever you want to speak out or voice your opinion. Do it in a professional way and do it publicly, because right now that's an outlet that we never had, you know, 20 to 30 years ago. And now it's a way for you to not only build your repertoire of like all the things that you've done and all the things that you've written, and your show, it pretty much showcases you as a personality, and it invites people to get to know you. And then you go into the interview and they kind of already get a sense of who you are, and you almost have double the chance of getting the job. So I think it's really important for you to just, I know it's hard and it's not easy for everybody. Like I was very camera shy actually before I ever started working.
Really?
When it started back. Yeah. I was camera shy. I was green. I get nervous. Like now that's all gone. But it, you know, if you start doing it even before you start working in this industry, you're gonna be golden by the time you hit, you know, your first job, whether it's for a website or for a developer. I think just as much as possible, make your voice be heard. And then it's all stuff that you can show and look back on and be like, hey, I used to be like this, and now look where I'm at. You know, it's always. Yeah, that's basically it.
So big shout out to Shane Ashby, who kind of asked a question on how to get advice into getting hands-on time and experience with a company. I think that's pretty much answered that question there. Dylan Cook wants to know, random question, do y'all think, I love y'all, oh, it's so cute, do y'all think the Titanfall will be the next Call of Duty? Eventually having a new game every year, haha.
I hope so. I hope so.
I do think so. I do. I think it has that, like, I've played Titanfall, I played the heck out of that beta, and I want to say that it's, like, more fun than Call of Duty, but, it's a trend, right? Multiplayer games are really fun, and they're really just big right now, so I think there's definitely that chance, and it's, I don't know, people love it. I think the fact that you get to ride a Titan is great, really awesome.
And it also, I think, shakes up the schematics behind the game, because I think we've had so many CODs, you know, Modern Warfare, Black Ops, et cetera, et cetera, now with Ghost. And then as well with a little bit of Battlefield as well, it's the same, all right, you've got a basic set on how you plan your little little schemes there. So, you know, throwing in a giant Titan where you can play one of two different roles is really going to throw an edge in, throw a boomerang
in. It's different. It's refreshing. We want something that's going to change up the game a little bit, and this is definitely, it's, you know, it's competition now for
I'm waiting for Destiny, guys. I'm more interested in Destiny.
No, you have to play Titanfall.
Oh, that's the space one, huh?
I like Destiny because it's what Halo, like, I mean, okay, all right, fairness. Titanfall is the new COD, but Destiny will be the new Halo.
See, I don't think that's right. I reckon Titanfall is the new Halo. It reminds me way more of Halo than it does of Battlefield or Call of Duty. Like, just the dynamics of it.
How you can get us up and, like, kind of float around. Yeah,
the power-ups and stuff. It's sort of, like, got that sci-fi feel, whereas Call of Duty and Ghost doesn't, Call of Duty and Battlefield doesn't really have it.
Destiny's actually a little bit more like Borderlands.
Yeah, it is. That's true. It's a different sort of game altogether.
I love Borderlands.
I just like multiplayer.
Destiny actually has a pretty cool lore. Like, we have it up on our wiki on IGN, but, like, I've been reading through some of the stuff that we've been posting, and there's some cool, like, almost Mass Effect-y types, you know, not stories, but at least for the world that they've created, like, you get some good insight, and it seems like a really cool, really cool game. It's going to be good.
Well, Dylan, I think we answered your question with that one. We've done that one. Oh, this is a pretty cool conversation. Shan commented on our YouTube page when we were talking about, you know, positive female role models, I guess. They have said they hate it when girls think that they need to sexualize themselves to be successful in what's seen as a male-dominated industry. Stephanie Bendixson, now Naomi, I'm not sure if you know of her, she's an Australian Games host.
Okay.
And she's actually someone I tweeted for International Women's Day who inspires me, and she does. And I think she's so fantastic in the way that her decorum is projected, and just, she's one of my favorite people on the planet. She first started hosting a show called Good Game, where it was previously two guys, and she came in and she kind of had the blonde hair, and everyone immediately typecast her as the blonde bimbo that knew nothing about games, and they slammed her on social media, and they just did not accept her. And it took her a little bit of time, but she just proved who she was as a person. You know, she did play games, she is well-spoken, she knows her shit, and she's a lovely person. And, you know, four, I think, years later that she's been doing it now, people are seeing that.
Five years.
And they've said that she's managed to build a very successful career without any form of sexualization. And regarding Jessica Nigri, she's doing sexualization the right way. She knows exactly what she's doing, but is countering any of the dumb blonde stereotypes sent her way. And I just wanted to read that out because I think that's fantastic. Registratus wants you to look around, Naomi, and just describe what's on the back of your wall, on your wall there.
Oh, this is just, well, it's Mario, so you got the blocks and you got the coins.
Exactly, so on that note, he said, how can you be broke because of all the gold coins? Got you there.
Well, these are not real. Hold on, okay.
What?
If I could sell them, I would, trust me. God. Do you want to buy them? Do you want to?
I'm sure that they would do well on eBay. Sell it on eBay. It'll be sweet.
Sure. I'll sign it if you want me to.
Yes. Quite a few people, including ChrisL23, has said, "What is your favorite game of all time?"
I hate that question.
I love that question.
I have to say, I have had time to think about this because I'm actually writing up my favorite games of all time article. So you're going to get to see, like, it's a list, but there is one standout one that is the top one, and it is Portal 2. I really think I've made a good choice. I'm always second-guessing, though, because there's, like, so many games that come out or games that I think about in the past that I get really attached to, and I'm like, but that was a better, maybe I had that experience and I liked it better. I don't know. It's a really tough question when you ask a gamer, like, what's your favorite game of all time? Because it's always changing and you're always in a different mood, but I think Portal 2, I stand by it.
I would get my Portal gun down, but it's kind of heavy and it's up there.
Leave it, leave it. Don't break it.
I'll just leave it where it is. Yeah, I don't like touching it. It needs to last forever.
Forever.
I have the one from Portal 2. It's the one with the interchangeable colors on the back. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
I've been meaning to get my hands on one for a long time.
It's worth it. It's worth it. It flashes and has cool colors.
Oh, stop it.
Favorite game of all time. I'll get all the girls to answer this really quickly. My favorite game of all time, hands down, this is the reason why I'm a gamer. This game has made me who I am today. Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, without a doubt. That is the pinnacle of games in every aspect of it. Maddie, favorite game, go. Ziana.
Dragon Age Origins.
Tazpans.
Mine has to be Tomb Raider from last year. I freaking love that game.
A lot of people have been saying that. It's a good choice.
Yeah.
Stardust?
My favorite game is Final Fantasy VIII. I think it was, like, very underrated, but it's, like, my favorite game of all time. I really loved it.
Now, I don't know if everyone can see all the subs. Taz and I are missing ours, I've just realized. If you want to follow Taz on Twitter, she's at Tazpants, T-A-Z-P-A-N-T-S. And I'm at Maud Garrett, which is at M-A-U-D-E-G-A-R-R-E-T-T. We're all on the same level if you want to interact and continue these conversations on Twitter. Maybe you agree with us, maybe you don't agree with us. Heaps of you guys giving your power chats to us, P-W-R, of course standing for playing, watching, reading. I've got another question for you, and this might be the last one that we've got time for, unless I get a really, really good question, so keep them coming if you're streaming on the YouTube or at Geek Bombshells. Use the hashtag Geeks Unleashed. Christopher Straver wants to know.
Oh, Chris.
Oh, actually, he wants to know about convention recommendations.
And travel is an option. I'm assuming he can travel. So then, in which case, I would say definitely Comic-Con.
Comic-Con!
Yeah. I would say, because E3, I think it's expensive and I think it's not open to the public, but I actually might take back Comic-Con, because I really like PAX, and PAX Prime is amazing. He can probably make it to PAX East very easily, because he's in England. I would say try a PAX convention and then work your way up to Comic-Con.
Comic-Con is the creme de la creme.
It is the creme de la creme. And plus, you walk around, and there's a huge chance you might run into celebrity, and that's awesome.
So the party that we were at, and we've got a great photo. I'll actually post it up on our Instagram or our Twitter again, where we're being twinsies, and we got photobombed by Martin Starr. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember that.
He's the guy from Freaks and Geeks. He's so hilarious. And
hilarious.
He had earbuds in because the music was so loud. But at one stage, and I love this story, even though Zach likes to keep it like a contained party, so if you go in there, you kind of keep everything on the DL. But at one stage, Joss Whedon was ordering a drink at the bar. Both Loki, Tom Hiddleston, and Matt Smith were having the biggest dance-off on the dance floor. And like, you looked around and you're like, oh, hey, Jon Snow, you know, what's up? You know, everyone who's everyone there. Nathan Fillion was swing dancing. He was having a bit of a cha-cha. It was the best fun I've ever had in my life.
Me too. I had a great time that night.
Long story short. And the last question from Tyler Rogers. He goes, Naomi, you've got a pretty wicked scar-looking thing on your right arm, near the elbow. I'm curious about that. Does it have a story?
Oh, my gosh. This thing?
I assume.
I can make it out.
I can't even see that.
No, it's okay. It's like, yeah, I don't know how he noticed this. Can you ask him how he noticed this?
Yeah, Tyler, how did you notice this?
Maybe in a photo of some sort, but I actually, I do have a crazy story for this, because Not my best moment, not my you know, I'm not very proud of this, but I was, you know, having a little temper tantrum, and this was back when I was living in Canada with my parents, and I was still in high school. I was probably like just starting high school. And I was really mad, and I don't know what the reason was. I don't remember it. There was a door that we had, and the window, it had like these three windows, and one of them was cracked. So I walked in, temper tantrum, like fuming for whatever reason, go to open the door, hit the window, and my arm goes right through, breaks the window, obviously, and it cut this like big chunk off my skin. But the thing is, I didn't feel it because apparently here you don't have a lot of nerve endings. So it just started like bleeding, and I was like, what is this? And I'm like, oh my God, I got completely like, there's a piece of skin missing there. So we had to go get it stitched up, and it healed in a weird way, so it looks like that. But yeah, that's the story. Not a really cool, I mean, it's kind of cool because I like punched a window and I got a scar from it, but aside from that, I mean, I was just having a bad day, really bad.
All right, let's put it to the panel. Guys, show your scars. Who's got anything worth talking about scar-wise?
I have nothing good. I have like a hot glue gun that I accidentally got onto my wrist when I was making a crown.
Okay.
That's the coolest
thing. I have scars on my wrist. I have scars like here on my wrist. Everyone thinks I like used to cut myself, but it was actually from picking up a cat. I picked up a cat and back legs just right down. That's the only one I've got.
Sardas, you got anything?
No, I don't, but like I used to play tennis when I was a kid, and we were talking about...
Oh my God, I have a good story!
And we were talking about accidents and going to hospital, and I pretty much said like I'd never been to hospital, never broken any limbs or anything like that, and my tennis coach pretty much said it's because I didn't leave the house enough and I was boring, so...
Aww.
It's kind of true, though.
Zana, what's your story?
I just remembered it. When I was like 10, oh, this will be so embarrassing if this guy ever watches this video, but one of my next door neighbors, Mark Kidson, if he ever watches it, he knows it's him. He stole one of my Pokemon cards, and it was one of the holographic ones.
Bastard.
Like it was like Machamp or Charizard. Or one of those, like, and this was right. This was in the like 2000, you know, when they were really big, and he ran off with it down the street, and I was like, I can run after this dude, and I ran, and I jumped over, like, the hedge in front of my house. I jumped over
like
the hedge
Ferris Bueller style.
And got caught. And yes, I jumped over it, but I tripped, my feet got caught, and I fell face first into the road and broke both my arms. So, fractured both
two
my arms.
Arms,
chasing somebody, stole my Pokemon card. I broke two arms.
That was a good reason, at least. Could have been worse than that.
I'm mobile.
It was totally
on my
worth
video.
It.
Yeah.
This is going to get a bit sus, but I'm going to show you my scar. And to do it, we have to take a journey down my body. Is everyone ready? Alrighty. Yeah. Can you see that one?
Oh.
That's a
bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it goes from here all the way to there, and it's a 7, and that's 20 stitches.
Wow.
20 stitches. Basically, I tried to walk past a glass table, and I'm so clumsy that my right foot kicked it, and I fell into it, and I cut my left leg so badly that my calf muscle was hanging out of my leg.
Oh. Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
That makes me feel
brutal.
And I remember this guy. And I'd been making out with him for a week or so. He was like, hey, look up, don't look down, look up, look up. And I was like, okay. And then he went, like, you know, I saw him disappear out of sight. And then he came back and he was covered in blood. And I thought he murdered someone. No, he was just kind of closing my leg back up. Anyway, he watched the stitches happen. And I could feel, because they only used a local anesthetic, so they put the needles all around it. But I could feel the pressure of the needle going in. And then the tug of the stitches pulling through.
Oh, creepy.
And I ended up dating that guy for 2 years, so that's lovely. but yeah.
Yes, now everyone feels uncomfortable.
Yes.
Well, now
I've got. I can top that more, maybe. I don't know. Just we're talking about gross things. I cracked my head open. I was trying to show off for a boy. I did a backflip off of a diving board into a pool, but I missed and cracked my head open. I had to get 10 stitches and I split it all the way down to the skull. And I went to the like the ER. I was like 9. This was, I think, before I broke my arms. And he like cleaned it, and then I could just hear this like tapping sound. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what's that? And he's like, oh, that's just me tapping your skull. And I was like, and I could hear it, and it's really weird because I could hear it like just vibrating in the back of my skull. And no. I was like, this is the most disgusting thing. And then he's like, just like sewing it up. We had to sew the muscles and the skin. I was like, no. We're just
on that lovely note. Yes, we have reached our hour, the stream, Geeks Unleashed. We are getting into like the ins and outs of everything. We have, as a recap, we've focused a lot of time and energy into talking about International Women's Day and how it is being a female in the games industry and in the entertainment industry. And we also talked a lot about Naomi, where she started, how it all began, her job, what it entails, and what maybe perhaps the next chapter may be. And we talked favorite games and disgusting scar stories. So that's a little bit of a recap. If you have tuned in late, this video will be available as soon as we are done here in its full. And Naomi, people have been commenting throughout this entire stream. Do you want to kind of give it a couple of days just in case people are watching this a little bit later? And if they've got any questions, just feel like answering them.
Sure.
Beautiful. We are doing WR Power as well. So we're going to write out what we're playing, what we're watching, what we're reading. But thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it when you do come on Geeks Unleashed, and we do love finding out about people in kind of like an intimate setting with some wine, if you mean. But my name's Maud Garrett. I am Chief Bomb of Geek Bomb at Maud Garrett if you do want to find more. If you haven't followed us on Twitter at Geek Bombshells, hit that little follow button. If you haven't subscribed to this YouTube channel, we have guests every single week and we'd love for you to join in every time, so hit subscribe. And we are on Facebook as well, facebook.com/geekbomb. So click like because we are always chatting along there. Our website, geekbomb.net. We are also starting a merchandise range. Stop it, why are you doing so many things? I don't know, we made candy as well. Geekbomb candy. What?
This is yes.
You're out of control. You're out of control, slow down. Hey Naomi, I'm going to send you a Geekbomb t-shirt as well to say thank you so much for all your efforts today because everyone loves Geek t-shirts. Yay! I've got excitable Muppet arms. And next time you're in LA, definitely hit me up, and I'm going to see you soon in San Fran as well. Thank you again. Keep watching. Get involved with Geek Bomb. This has been Geek Bomb, and ladies,
bomb has been dropped.
Lee, you're my favorite person. The rest of you are dead to me.